My general subject is the organization and behavior of ant and other social insect colonies, and I want to start with two general questions, which would seem to be basic and obvious. How many workers in a colony perform one particular task? And looking at the whole repertoire of tasks performed by a colony, how does the colony allocate workers and in what proportion to the different tasks? These would seem to be basic questions involved in colony organization and division of labor, and we don't have systematic information on these questions for any social insect. One reason, I think, is division of labor has emphasized characteristics of individual workers, such as age and size, and placed less emphasis on strategies of task performance and how colonies achieve a good performance level. So I ask instead the question, how does a colony utilize the workers it has? Given that a colony has a certain number of workers with certain characteristics, how should it utilize them? How many workers allocated to each task? How many workers allocated among the repertoire of tasks, and how does the colony manage that? Does a worker perform one task or several, and under what conditions will its repertoire vary? We have, under the guise of models of division of labor, a number of possible options that colonies might use for allocating workers. For example, a colony could match worker characteristics to task requirements, as in size polyethism, or match physiological state, such as glandular state, to task requirements. A colony could allocate workers in relation to age and change behavioral programs as workers age. This is temporal polyethism, of course. Worker numbers could be allocated in direct response to task need. This would be a feature of foraging for work and response threshold models. Or allocation could be done by a fixed proportion of all the workers in the colony, as in the social inhibition model. I'm sure there are many other possibilities. Well, I wanted to start looking at some of these questions in the context of one task, brood care, which is a fundamental task that a colony needs to do. Brood care in leaf-cutting ants in particular includes feeding the larvae, grooming, moving, and tending larvae and pupae. It's an important task, that is, it contributes to the fitness of a colony, but it's generally not urgent. If the larva is fed now or 15 minutes from now, it probably doesn't make a great deal of difference. In the short term, the need for brood care is highly stable and predictable. It's only in the lab that somebody unexpectedly drops 1,000 new larvae on a colony. In the long term, colonies significantly expand and contract their quantities of brood, and hence the need for brood care over their season and lifetime. So in case I take too long, I'm going to summarize the talk now before actually telling you results. I used some small experimental lab colonies in shallow nests where the brood were in a single layer pretty much, and I could observe them. I watched workers tending brood and quantified brood tenders in relation to the numbers of brood that were visible. And basically what I found is there's a fairly stable, at least over a period of a day or two, task group tending the brood. The number of workers tending the brood does vary with brood number, and there are significant effects of the size of workers and worker behavioral state on whether or not they tend brood. And I'll finish up with some thoughts on strategies that colonies are using. I want to say now and emphasize these are going to be preliminary data. I've done a bunch of nest setups which are actually fairly tedious and time-consuming, and I've been figuring out how to do these observations. So preliminary now, but I'm going to try and give you a sense of where the results are likely to go. Leaf-cutting ants are actually easy to keep in the lab. This is a laboratory colony with approximately 50,000 workers, and I use small experimental nests in petri dishes with plaster floors. These all have 100 workers and various quantities of brood. They all have about 2 cubic centimeters of fungus. So my colonies are in 7 basic types. First, I varied the number of brood here, and all these colonies have a typical worker size distribution. Then I varied worker size, all with 50 larvae and pupae, workers with either large, medium, or small, and these are head width measures. And then I had colonies with only known foragers in them collected in the foraging arena. And I scanned through the colonies to count the numbers of workers tending brood and the numbers of visible brood. I did observations for 10 minutes recording all brood care acts, 10 minutes repeated numerous times, and focal observations of individual workers. So, as I say, kind of preliminary data, just a description of the general pattern. There will be, the brood will be organized into brood piles, usually pupae are at the top, larvae often buried underneath, and I don't think they get a lot of individual attention. They probably have self-esteem problems. The workers kind of distribute themselves almost in an over-dispersed fashion among the brood piles, and so at regular intervals there'll be a worker. Workers are often present when they're doing something or not. This movement word here refers to worker movements. The workers who are tending the brood tend to stay there for long periods of time. Focal observations suggest that movements are slow and short distances when they happen, and often workers stay in the same place for quite long periods of time. The size distribution, in case you haven't looked at leaf cutting ants this week, this is Wilson's figure of polyethism in size polyethism in leaf cutting ants, and the brood care workers tend to be in this area, mostly around 1 millimeter head width or a little bit less, but there are always a few present of 1.5 up to 2 millimeters head width. These are the main results in terms of number of brood care workers. Look first at the effect of brood number, and you see that it has a really strong effect. More brood, more workers tending the brood. That kind of makes sense, but it would be conceivable that you have 5 larvae with 100 workers clustered around them desperately wanting to do something. That does not happen. Worker size also has a strong effect. The small workers, these are the ones most commonly seen on the brood, in fact, tend at approximately normal rates and normal numbers, but medium and large workers tended brood at a far lower rate. That is, fewer than were present. And foragers did actually collect the brood and organize it, and a few of them tended it, but very few. Brood care acts, there are 3 that I looked at. And moving the brood around here is shown in green. Grooming is shown in yellow, and feeding I looked at, but it's very infrequent and irregular, and I need a lot more observation to really say something about that. But it's the need for brood feeding is not very great. So again, looking at the effects of brood numbers, you can see again more brood, more movement, and a lot more grooming. Worker size, far more grooming and tending activity among the small workers than the medium and large, and the foragers just don't do very much at all. In general, moving tends to be kind of irregular, and there's a lot of variability between observation periods, whereas the grooming behavior tends to be pretty regular and constant, and some of the standard deviations, for example, between that's 5 different observation periods, the variability is quite small. Okay, so from just these data, what can we say about colony brood care strategies? There are a number of different things going on. Clearly, workers are allocated in relation to the need for the task. There is very slight, if any, size matching. The largest larvae and pupae are moved only by large workers, but other than that, very small workers will tend very large pupae and larvae. There is variation in individual responsiveness or tendency to perform brood care. Old workers, or at least foragers, do very little brood care, and larger sized workers do very little brood care. Although there is a character distribution of the brood care workers in their size, and some of those 1.5 to 2 millimeter head width workers are basically always present. So there appears to be limited flexibility there. I have a caveat there. I've only studied these nests for about a week at a time, maybe over longer periods of time. They show more flexibility. Smaller workers are very numerous in the nests, and the numbers that were tending brood are 1/3 to 1/2, roughly, of those that were available. So it's not like all small workers of appropriate age are tending brood. And it would seem that colonies could easily adjust the allocation, especially these small workers, to brood care as brood numbers change. And so kind of have an accordion effect and change allocation without really affecting much of the rest of the colony. Is that my total time?
No, you've got 2 minutes.
2 minutes, no problem. Okay, I'd like to draw two contrasts between the results here and what you would see under other conditions. First, under alarm conditions, if the nest is disturbed, all of a sudden the number of workers that care about the brood becomes much larger and goes into the bigger size ranges. Basically, everybody's ready to grab a larva or pupa and go. And second is with undertaking behavior. With the brood care, we saw that the number of workers tending the brood is about equal to or less than the number of brood items, so 1-to-1 ratio or less. Undertaking behavior, which I've studied in ADA also, is done by potentially quite large number of workers, about a third of the colony, and the number of corpses that a colony typically sees is on the order of one a day or something like that, so their capacity for undertaking is somewhere around 1,000 or 2,000 times the amount of undertaking they ever need to do. I suggest that this has to do with the predictability of the task. Brood care is a very regular, predictable task. Undertaking is something that comes up unexpectedly but requires a quick response. And so there may be different allocation and response strategies associated with the characteristics of each task. These studies have a lot of potential for further extensions, and so I can learn a lot more about the strategies of colonies. And I just want to conclude by saying what I was able to do was estimate the number of brood care workers in a colony and show that there is an effect of brood quantity. There are some distinct behavioral tendencies among the workers, and the focus of further work will be on what specific interactions among the workers and the larvae and individual worker decisions give rise to these patterns.